I do want to thank Andy. Andy wrote a handwritten note to me, a listener to the show, sent me a present, the T-shirt I'm wearing today on Evan and Tiki called You Gotta Bereave, and it's a picture of a drunk, screwed-up Mr. Met. He writes, Evan, no one deserves this more than you. Start seeing a therapist. Adjust your medications. Andy. Which leads me to think that Andy isn't even a Met fan. Like, it was Andy saying, you're a schmuck. Here's a T-shirt to show how bad your baseball team is.
Nah.
And my almost gut feeling is Andy's a Yankee fan.
No, because I've seen similar type Met, like this team makes me drink shirts. Like, I think that's a negative Met fan, like, join us.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of thing.
Maybe I'll find out someday.
I think you're right. That's what it feels like.
All right.
We're looking at this very differently than you.
I just think the way the letter is written.
Right.
No one deserves this more than you. Almost like I'm enjoying your pain.
No, I think it's you put all this work into the Mets. You're doing these RICOs constantly. You need to wallow in the misery we're wallowing in as Mets fans.
All right. I hope you're right. Here is your, for now, Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. We've done a lot of baseball the last couple days. Figured to have some fun today. We're trying to think of
A lot of baseball.
Yeah.
That's all we've done is baseball.
Well, so why don't we can we go sports adjacent today with Cinco?
Let's.
I was trying to come up with something different, so I don't know where I got this from, but the five reasons lunch is better than dinner. Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
So random.
You have no expectation to cook the meal. You want to get lunch out. You want to make a sandwich. There's no real cooking involved at home like you do at dinner.
It's true.
That is very true. Lunch for me is always, what's the quickest?
Yeah.
Go to the deli, pick up leftovers. It's in the fridge already.
It's a very stress-free meal.
Just grab a packet of oatmeal, something. It's easy. Lunch is simple.
Easy. I mean, oatmeal for you, not for us fat people. But here we go.
Number four.
I have high blood pressure.
Number four, have you ever heard of liquid lunch? There's no such thing as liquid dinner.
Mm. It's true.
Yeah, you couldn't get away with a liquid dinner because you'd go to bed starving.
Uh-huh.
And even more drunk.
But liquid lunch, very
liquid
socially
lunch
acceptable.
And you can recover.
No doubt about it.
Right.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Anything goes on the 24-hour menu, too. You want breakfast food for lunch? You do it. It's called brunch.
It's called a diner.
Yeah.
I had diner pancakes and bacon 2 nights ago.
No doubt. But you bring that to, lunch, and it's a late breakfast. It's an early dinner. Anything goes.
There are no rules to lunch.
No rules.
You're right.
Here we go.
Number two.
Similar to Tiki's thought on liquid lunch, but there's more time to burn off the fat of a heavy lunch. When you get to the fast food, shove a chicken sandwich and french fries in your mouth, guess what?
True.
You get 8 extra hours to burn it off as opposed to eating it at 7 p.m.
All right, I'll just get some more steps.
Yup. All right, here we go.
Number one.
And the number one reason lunch is better than dinner is because starting January 5th, you can listen to this segment while you eat it.
That was all set up to promote the newly named Cinco de Lunch.
What a work, Sean.
And I'm glad you put that work in because I've also put some work in on some theme songs for Cinco de Lunch.
All right. Yeah.
So we've got, I sent Tommy three of them. I even named them, but we never went over it. So you can just play whichever one you want at first.
You got it.
And then we can discuss. So here is option number one. As we move to the 10 a.m. slot on January 5th and present to you Cinco de Luncho, here is theme song option number one.
Grab a seat, grab a bite, grab a bite. Sports are served just right.
Sean's got a list of five. We gotta know. It's Cinco de Luncho.
Cinco de Luncho.
All right, that one grew on me. At first, I was like, what in the hell are we listening to? And then it kind of grew on me. By the way, this is all thanks to Thomas Birch, who wrote us, or wrote Evan, on the RICO?
Yes, the RICO email account, a listener to our program. I think he is 12 or 13 years old, and he said the Cinco de Fivo is his favorite segment, and if the rumors are true, which they are, it should be renamed the Cinco de Luncho. And as of now, we've approved it.
Thomas Birch?
Yes.
I went to Birch Lane for kindergarten. Uh-huh. How about that?
See? Look at that. So do you like that song? Where are we at on that?
I do. I like that one. It grew on me.
All right.
I didn't like it at first, and then it grew on me.
How about you, Sean? You're the man of the hour in this.
I swear I had the same exact thought on Tiki. The moment the word started, I thought to myself, this is almost insulting to the midday show. And then by the end, I was singing.
All right. Here is option number two for Cinco de Luncho.
Grab a seat. Grab a bite. Sports talk served us right. Sean's got a list of five.
Cinco de Luncho!
Quick and punchy.
Hey, matinee on the Great White Way. That felt so Broadway.
And finally,
these are very Broadway, aren't
they? That one in particular felt very Broadway.
You're right. So this last one is not Broadway-like. In fact, how would you describe this last one, Tommy?
I think it fits the Cinco de Five-O theme.
Yeah, it's very Cinco-like. Ladies and gentlemen, candidate number three.
John Moraes in the booth, somebody hide the castle. Optics flying, phones ringing, Evans yelling,
no!
Tiki's laughing, chaos cracking, nobody's in control.
Oh, we got it.
It's Cinco de Roncho. Bam! Crunch! Let's go!
The rap.
Cinco de Roncho is brought to you by Helix Wireless.
That's a rap.
Well, what do you mean?
That's that one.
You like that one?
100%.
I can already see myself walking out in hoodies that say, bam, crunch, let's go.
Yeah, no doubt.
So you're saying that
I was like, wait, is it Friday? Didn't that sound like Al Cintron?
Did it?
Said play it again.
Oh, wow.
Sean Moraes in the booth.
Oh, my God.
The castle.
You're Washington Commanders.
So you're telling me I don't get to create any more songs? It's over? This is the song?
You keep trying, but that's the leader of those three.
Fair enough.
Bam, crunch, let's go. That's like a good way to end it.
Hold on, I got
to
hear that again. That one was dope. I like that one. Let me hear it again.
Dope.
Sean Moraes in the booth. Somebody hide the castle. Optics flying, phones ringing, Evans yelling.
No!
Tiki's laughing, chaos cracking. Nobody's in control. It's Cinco de Roncho. Bam! Crunch! Let's go!
I like that. The more I hear it, the better I like it.
Now, Tommy, as your last piece of power before you move to Tommy Tonight After Hours.
Primetime Tommy.
Primetime. What did I call you?
You said you threw a couple things
Tommy
out there.
Tommy Tonight.
Oh, it's After Hours, Positive Tommy, and Primetime.
Gotcha. Trust me, the way this offseason's going, it ain't going to be too positive about the Tommy. What is your opinion on those choices?
I like option number two. I'm with Tiki. It was very Broadway in.
Very Broadway.
But number three to me is the slam dunk.
Wow.
That's the one. The leader in the clubhouse. I think we should play them, for the next couple of days until January 5th. But right now, leader in the clubhouse is the song we heard last.
Let's get the opinion of a guy on hold who has waited a while, and his topic is Evan's terrible jingles.
Oh, nice.
So I am so curious what he thinks. Jim is in Madison. Good afternoon, Jim.
What up, Jim?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. So listen, I got to say first that I've always loved the show. I listen to you every day. I call all the time, right? So wherever you go, I go.
I appreciate that, Jim.
And that also goes for Primetime Tommy or maybe Late Night Boogie,
Oh, dude.
Jimmy, brilliant.
That's even better.
I like that. Very
good. Loogie does late nights or something. I don't know. But anyway, my one show request is that Evan is officially fired from anything to do with jingles from now on. I mean, Evan is like Quincy Jones in reverse, okay? everything he touches is unlistenable.
So you're saying that you don't like that last jingle that Tiki loved?
You hated it?
You hated that one, too?
I can see it growing on me for sure, okay? But my favorite one ever was the Cinco de Evo that sounded like Loogie put it together in 3 minutes. That was my favorite.
It was actually 3 seconds.
That wasn't even a song. Well, here's the way I look at it, Jim. We appreciate your loyalty and thank you for calling. If you hit at a 30% clip, you're a Hall of Famer.
Mm.
Think about that.
Any more are you?
Yeah, probably even more so now.
More so now?
Right.
So, yes, there's a lot of songs. Some of them fall flat. Some of them work. But I am surprised genuinely that these guys love that. What do we label that song? Grab the Queso?
Bam, Crunch, Let's Go.
Bam, Crunch, Let's Go.
Let's go!
Yeah. Well, I apologize, Jim. Every day at 5 o'clock, along with the Cinco de Five-O, I will throw a few more at Tiki and Sean to decide where they want to go once we launch on January 5th with the Cinco de Luncho. And the beauty of the Cinco de Luncho is it's probably going to be around 12:30.
Yeah.
That's probably when lunch is.
Right.
But,
Or it could be one.
Or it could be one.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on the way the day goes.
Late lunch.
Could be an early lunch. You never know. Let's go to Brian in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. How are you, Brian?
What's up, Brian?
I'm not doing that great, Evan. What are we doing, Evan? I thought we had money. I thought we were going to copy the Dodger strategy. But apparently we can compete with the Dodgers by sitting on our hands and have Jeff McNeil and Vientos share first base. How do you not offer Diaz more money in years when he's been the best closer in baseball over the past couple of seasons? How do you trade Nimmo, the biggest hustler out of the box on walks, for an all-deteriorating second baseman when you had multiple second base options like Acuna, McNeil, even Beatty if you really were desperate enough? How do you not offer Pete a contract at all? How do you even let him step out of the building without offering him a contract? You can't just go out and replace a 270 batting average, 800 OPS, 120 RBIs, and 40 home runs that plays 162 games every year that easily. And not even saying, it's not like he was a rental. It was a homegrown player that I have seen playing baseball longer than I've been with my wife. And we haven't won, and you can say we haven't won with this core. Everyone can say that as much as they want. But this core has given us the best baseball that I have personally watched over my 30 years on this planet. You go ask a Pirates fan, a Marlins fan, or a Rockies fan, if 1 month ago, if they would love to be in our shoes, I guarantee you every single one of them would say yes. Anyway, fire David Stearns, and I hope that casino takes years to put up. Rant over. Love the show. Love you, Evan. Love you, Tiki. Thank you for letting me vent.
Love right back, Brian. Appreciate
Thank you, Brian. You, Brian. I understand the pain.
Yeah.
I get it. There's a lot that it's tough to argue with, and I think that one of the things you touched on that will always live in the legacy of Pete Alonso and his exit, because your exit is a part of your legacy.
Of course.
When you talk about Daryl Strawberry, eventually you get to his exit. They never made Pete Alonso an offer. And they can tell you, well, we were never going to go close. At least try. Like, can I tell you how I would try? In a creative, I don't think
past,
irrational
this is,
way?
This is past tense?
Well, 2 days ago. Once I'm getting word that Pete's going to get a 5-year offer.
Okay, so in an alternate universe, and it's still December 9th.
Yes, and I know he's going to get a 5-year offer, and I'm not going to go to 5 years. I would offer him a 3-year deal and pay him $42 million a year. Kind of like what Boston did with Alex Bregman last year. Like a severe overpay, which I admit.
Right.
But it at least fits your need of not going long term. Because you know who they tried that with? As much as I bitch about it, I call things fairly. They tried that with DeGrom. They made him an offer.
Yeah, you're right.
They made him a 3-year, big money offer. And Jake said, no. Maybe because he didn't want to come back, Teague, but also because the other team made a 5-year offer and he chose the year is probably the best decision he's ever made.
Right, because he got hurt right away.
So that's the other thing. Like, even if we're
and
just going to
he also won a World Series.
He did, even though he didn't, like, contribute to it.
Right.
But nevertheless, it was a good decision by him. Good for him. But the Mets made an offer. Like, in the legacy of Jacob DeGrom's time with the Mets, we will now be able to say he didn't want to come back, but the Mets tried.
They never
tried with this guy.
Right. This is why when the history looks at Pete Alonso, and let's say Pete Alonso goes and, following Jake's example, wins a championship. Doesn't matter how great or whatever he is, but he goes to Baltimore and he's highly thought of, somewhat legendary, loved by the fan base. You can look at Jacob DeGrom and say, man, they tried. They didn't really want him. Same situation.
Right.
But it was a masterclass on how to not want him but trying to keep him type of thing.
This was not that.
This was not that at all.
It was not a masterclass.
This was just like, we don't want you at all. And we're not even going to try.
And Adam Eaton.
And so if he goes somewhere else
and
dominates, now you really look like an ass.
My friend Adam Eaton, it's not his real name, but it's a nickname he uses, Adam Eaton, and then there's another word after it, who's a part of the Mets text chat, made a great point earlier today that I want to repeat. I'm not going to create it like it was my own. It was his thought. I don't know if you read it in the Mets text chat.
Yes,
he
I did.
Said,
his wife must love him, huh?
Yes. That's what I've heard. Wow. Okay. That's just trying to give you hints on the nickname.
What's the matter, Evan? Cat got your tongue?
All right.
That's a good one, Sean.
Adam Eaton's idea. Boy, you really have to like put things together, and then it's hilarious. There's at least 5% of the audience thinking this is the funniest thing they've ever heard. And the other 95% is like, I don't understand the riddle. But if you think about the riddle, you can solve it based on that. Anyhow, he said if the Mets were willing to offer Pete 3 years this year, which reportedly they were.
Yes.
What if they just offered him 4 years last year?
wouldn't it have gotten it done?
Yeah.
And it's a great point. Like, if the Mets had said to Pete, we're going to give you a four-year, $120 million deal. No opt-outs, but we're going to give you 30 a year, four-year deal. Does Pete say yes? And the answer is probably.
Yeah. Well,
and because they didn't, well, and they settled on the one-year deal, it led to this, and now he's gone.
Didn't he want six?
He wanted seven this year.
But didn't last year, didn't he? Wasn't it six that was the number? Because that's essentially what he got, right? 6 years.
Well, yeah, 5 years. Well, if you're including last year, six years.
I'm talking making good 30-plus million money. He basically has 6 years, whatever that would be, $186 million.
About 185, 186.
Right. So, whatever it turns out to be. So he ultimately got what I'm going to say his agent promised him he would get.
100% Scott won in this.
100% he won. And Pete did too because he's getting paid. Yeah. Now it sucks because he's not finishing his career as a Met, but we could tell that was never going to happen. They weren't going to go that long. But Adam's point is an interesting one. If they had gone 4 years, let's meet you almost there but not quite there, and up the money a little bit.
It would have been over.
Does that work?
I think it would have worked, but I guess the Mets, coming off of a bad year from Pete, said, we don't have to give you that.
And I think
so their great foresight kind of screwed them in
a way.
I think
they were also extraordinarily annoyed with his agent.
Yeah. Well, because there was no one else competing.
So why give in
when no one else is competing?
Right, you don't need to bid against yourself. And so, I thought this on the way in today. I wonder how much of, because think about Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen is a hugely successful businessman. Obviously, it's in hedge funds and finance, et cetera. We know what his net worth is. And if there is someone who does him wrong, trust me, he's never doing business with that guy again.
Right.
I couldn't help but think, I wonder if Steve Cohen is looking at Scott Boras as my business adversary. And I was so turned off by him a year ago that I'm not doing business with
him. Well, then how do you sign Cody Bellinger? How do you sign Alex Bregman?
I mean,
how do you sign Ranger Suarez if you choose?
It'll be interesting to see if they do.
Yeah, I think that the Mets are very smart, and I get why they didn't want to negotiate against themselves last year. Yep. But if you had foresight on what could happen on a one-year deal, which is what happened, you were better off negotiating against yourself and locking in Pete on a four-year deal.
Right.
Because then you would have gotten what you were going to offer this year. Think about it. And so the Mets again said, well, we're not going to negotiate against ourselves. We'll get a one-year deal. But the risk of a one-year deal is he has a big year. There's more teams in the marketplace as there was, and he's gone.
Right.
And here's your end result. He's not a Met. He's a Baltimore Orioles. Baltimore Oriole. Let's go to John in Staten Island. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, boys? By the way, Evan, I know you're the sports guy, but Ranger Suarez signed with the Braves like 4 hours ago.
No, Robert Suarez signed with the Braves. He is a closer.
Then I'm wrong. Mm. Here's my question.
You scared me. You literally made my heart jump.
My problem.
It's okay.
My bad. I heard you guys talk about like the new lineup yesterday, and I was like interested. I'm going to miss BT and Sal, but I'm excited to listen to you guys in the afternoon. But I was curious, is it Evan and Tiki Witt, WIDTH? Because, you know, Sean Moran is like that.
Right.
With Sean Moran.
That's a great question. Sean, do you have an answer to that? Is it with Sean or with Sean?
Because of the fatness?
I saw a belly.
That's
what
he's asking.
My goal in 2026, you might remember I'm a semi-professional cyclist after last year, is to get away from the width part. I think it's just width here. You know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting. His name was added to the show, and Giannotti was saying this morning that he probably thinks Sean complained about it, which is why it happened. So you have a chance to either deny that report or confirm that report. Mm. Did you go into management's office and say...
Yeah, we saw you going into the architect.
It's true.
What'd you say?
Yeah. Well, did you make a demand?
I will tell you this. The first time I went to management's office to discuss this move happened today after the press release. So that answer would be no.
So you're saying you had nothing to do with your name going on the show?
I wouldn't have been more surprised yesterday than if I woke up with my head sewed to the carpet. No, I had nothing to do with it.
All right.
Fair enough.
Could Evan have had something to do with it? I don't know.
You think I did it?
I don't know.
You think Shad Tiki did it?
I think you're softening the blow to have me do more work for you in January. I don't know.
Boy, he's smart over there.
Yeah, he is.
You're hip to Evan, for sure.
You're getting wise in a very short time, Sean.
Well, I believe in it's like what the Mets didn't do with Scott Boras. You got to negotiate sometimes. I want this. I give you this. I want that. You give me that. Mm-hmm. And then I give you this. And then you give me that. And then we all have something.
And a little spoiler for the audience. I'm not an idiot, too. The first and last time you'll hear it be called Evan and Tiki with Sean Morris was in that press release. Because I assure you there is not going to be a new open on January 5th to the show.
How about this? Would you want, like, when we return from breaks, hey, you're listening to Evan and Tiki with Sean Morris at least three times a show? I'll do it.
I mean, boy, you overshot yourself. I was going to settle for once, you know, 12:20.
Yeah. Boy, I am a terrible negotiator.
Right.
You are three.
You gave it away.
All right, let's start with one.
Okay.
I'll start to get comfortable, and then before you know it, maybe it'll be three.
Yeah, it'll just roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good.
Do you think
the tongue needs to be rolled there.
Yeah. That's true. So if I do it three times a show, do you think that's three times more than Craig will say the Carton Show with Chris McMonagle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 The last time you'll hear Chris's name mentioned is his final overnight show.
That's not fair. But maybe true. That's the most Tommy has ever laughed on this show.
I saw our good buddy McMonagle yesterday. It just makes me chuckle. Because I know Craig, and he's not going to mention his name. Mm. I guess when he gets him a soda, he will. Oh, that's a joke.
Wow.
That's a joke.
Jeez. Not really. Is he going to sit over there or here?
No, he's probably back here. No, that's not true. He's sitting here, man. He's right next to him.
But where am I sitting?
No, he's talking about Craig.
Craig.
And Big Mac. He just said his Big Mac in there, and what Tiki's referring to is behind the glass.
Yes.
As Steve Summers famously coined it many years ago. No, he's sitting here. He's not going to be fetching Craig's soda like he's his dog. You're his dog.
Well, then I read the wrong press release. I thought that was in the press release. It wasn't?
Part of the press release you didn't relieve is even though you're doing After Hours and it's prime time Tommy, you are still contractually obligated to fetch Craig lunch.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. Well, then I need a minion to fetch the lunch for me to fetch it to Craig. That's what I need then.
Don't think it works that way.
I had one more question. This always around the press release real quickly. I studied that press release last night. Something dawned on me. We're usually at the air 6:25. I saw that listed till 7. Can you give me how many shows next year you think Craig is staying on the air until 7?
No, that's not true. My understanding is that show, the Carton Show with Chris McMonagle, is over at 6. That's my understanding.
Ooh. The press release said 7.
Well, and then I think Big Mac, Chris McMonagle, is on until 7.
That is okay. Then you answered my question.
Yeah, no, Craig's done at 6.
Okay, I had the right mindset.
This is something.
Also, the Lugauer becomes the
Big Mac Hour.
Yeah.
The Bridge Show. Dude,
that is such a sponsorship opportunity.
What sponsorship opportunity?
Go get a Big Mac.
Oh.
Big Mac is here.
That's true. That is very, very true. It's interesting. For years, prior to you and I getting together, Craig and I talked often about killing that show and being over at 6 o'clock. Mm. It didn't happen. Then we start, and we've talked for 2.5 years about killing that show and having it over at 6 o'clock. And they finally did it! Well, so congratulations.
That'll be the good thing about being in the midday.
That's right. Yeah, we don't have to worry about that extra 20.
No more 5.5-hour shows.
Except for Black Friday when I have to do it.
That is true. All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll mix in some more of your calls. Plus, Mike Kafka is still the head coach of the New York Giants, and he is still trying to become the full-time head coach of the New York Giants. We're going to take a listen to Mike Kafka rallying the troops. We're going to close our eyes and figure it out. Can this guy truly rally men and be a head coach in the NFL? Earlier in the show, I put out a poll on social media. Who do you trust more in this moment, David Stearns or Joe Shane? And despite the recent hatred towards David Stearns over the last 2 days, he still won this thing easily, as he should. 63% of the votes still trust David Stearns more than Joe Shane. I think if it was...
It's because we don't know yet.
Well, also, Joe Shane has failed for years here in terms of wins and losses.
Yes.
David Stearns had one bad year. Had one very good year, right. One very bad year.
Right.
It's
not even about the players per se. It's about the success of the team.
Yes.
Right.
Because, look, you can parse the moves that each of them made, some good, some bad. It really comes down to, did you win?
Mm-hmm.
And also, the other thing that hurts David Stearns, even though he won this anyway, is his trade deadline was a disaster when you look back on it. And I remember when the Yankees and the Mets both had their trade deadline, one advantage that the Yankees had was that the Mets needed to hit this in 2 months because they're all rentals.
Yeah.
The Yankees, all of their moves were guys who were signed for the following year. So the Yankees get two bites at the apple. So Ryan Helsley's gone. He's in Baltimore now. It failed. We'll see about Tyler Rogers. They could always bring him back.
Right.
Gregory Soto, gone. He's in Pittsburgh. It sort of failed. Cedric Mullins, gone. He's in Tampa. It failed. In the Yankees' case, Jose Caballero is probably their opening day shortstop on the team. David Bednar is their closer on the team. Camilo Duvall, Jake Bird. Like, the Yankees, I think we can declare this now. I remember there was a Lugash debate series. The New York Yankees won the 2025 trade deadline in New York. Can we at least admit that?
Yeah, you definitely.
Concede defeat, Tommy?
Yes.
Okay. See? He'll admit defeat when need be.
Did he win that Lugash debate series?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I don't remember either. Double asterisk this thing.
Well, you can win the debate in the moment, and then you win the battle and lose the war, as the phrase
is.
So he may have won the battle, but ultimately, and Brian Cashman,
either way, he lost the war.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And he admits that. When Tommy admits he lost something, that he really lost something. Because usually he fights tooth and nail or changes the argument. So
it's really tough to defend Cedric Mullins and Ryan Helsley. Like, that's, what am I going to say?
No,
I have to concede that one.
I'm glad you did.
Bednar alone wins it for Sean and the Yankees. Yeah.
Jose Caballero wins it alone, too.
That's true. Anybody.
I got a very interesting tweet last night from somebody about a possible last Lugash debate series. I'm almost uncomfortable to share it.
Like a season series finale Lugash debate series?
They wanted me and Lugie to debate who got the better job in 2026.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Can you get a Lugash debate series debating which of you got the better job?
It's a good promo for both the new shows.
Yeah. I accept that if you guys are willing to fight over it.
I don't know if it's so awkward.
Well, it's... No, it's not. Just promise me that no matter what.
Because he has to disparage you.
Yeah, just don't take it personally and don't give me the boo-boo face.
You're
the one that always has the boo-boo face. You like the punch down, and when somebody punches up back at you, you take your ball and you go home and you act like a baby.
Okay, I'm sorry. I interpreted it as that he was going to be sensitive. He thinks I'm going to be sensitive.
Yeah. Well, sounds like this has to happen.
Well, we have to defend our own show, right? Obviously, I can't be like, well, Sean, you got to, you know, so I'm going to have to take shots at you. You're going to have to take shots at me. So we're going to have to be big boys about it. Got to put our big boy pants on.
And I think before you do it, I will try to very fairly explain both of your roles so that the audience can know going in. At least the facts.
Yes, yes. So it's not as if you're taking shots and you have no idea what they're talking
about. So I think that's fair. Our final show in the afternoons will be January 2nd.
Yeah.
So are you all working on January 2nd?
I will be here.
Sean, will you be here on January 2nd?
I hadn't committed because I really want to watch the Ranger game.
Well, we'll have the game on. We're hanging out. We're doing a radio show while chilling. What's up?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, but I got... Sound goes on and commercial breaks.
No, quite. In fact, you know what? If Tiki's okay with this, how about Sean sits in the studio for the entire show?
100%.
We'll have the Ranger game on. They're playing the Panthers in the Winter Classic.
Wow.
And, And then we will have the final Lugash debate series on who got the better job.
Just don't be sensitive. Like if Sean, if I call you a button pusher, what are you going to do about it? Doorman. Don't get sensitive. That's all. And you could take shots at me all you want. It's all good. But again, don't give me the boo-boo face. Don't be the crying. Oh, gloves are off. It's the final Lugash debate series.
You suddenly gain confidence at 3:01 yesterday?
What do you mean gain confidence? I take the Lugash debate series very seriously.
All right.
The best part is, Teak, I've already got like so much information for both sides on how they could attack with like information they may not even know. Mm. And I am smartening them both up so much help their sides.
Information that we don't know?
Well, like things that you may not be that familiar with. That I can teach you that both of you can use against each other.
He's coaching you to debate.
Yes, I'm going to coach both of you because I got stuff for you, Tommy, and I certainly have stuff for Sean. I got stuff for both of you.
We got to make sure it's epic.
This smells like Tommy not talking to me until St. Paddy's Day.
So of what year? This could be the end of the friendship.
Oh, it's definitely worth doing then.
I don't know if I regret it.
We got to do it because after this, Sean's only going to debate callers.
Yeah, that's the new Lugash debate series. It's the Morash Callish debate series or whatever the hell we'll call it. So yes, it's all scheduled now on the marquee. Friday, January 2nd. We return from vacation. One last dance in the afternoons. The final Lugash debate series.
And we know no matter who wins between me and Tommy, it's McMonagle who got the worst of the jobs.
Did you guys agree on that one?
Oh, yeah. I was like, you want to do it or me?
Right now, the person who has the worst job in sports is Mike Kafka. He is the interim head coach of the New York Football Giants. And what sucks for Mike is, A, the Giants haven't won since he's taken over.
That's a bad start to your record.
And number two, the Giants are a part of Hard Knocks, the NFC East. And because of that, we're seeing behind-the-scenes stuff, including Mike Kafka trying to pump up his team about the final four games. If you're driving, don't do this, but if you're at home or you're listening on the Odyssey app or wherever you're consuming this in a safe way, I want you to close your eyes, especially Tiki, because this guy played in the NFL. Close your eyes. Imagine you're in that meeting room, and this is your head coach trying to fire you up, and you let us know if this would work, if this doesn't work. You just let us know. Ladies and gentlemen, the interim head coach of the New York Giants, Mike Kafka.
All right, so just on the game. And like yesterday, guys, we lost as a team. All three phases, we lost as a team. But we're going to win as a team, too. And that's going to be coming after the bye. Right? The reality is we have four opportunities left with just this group right here. Like, everybody look at each other. We got four ops together, man. Four opportunities. Like, I promise you, I'm going to give you everything I got to go 4-0 one week at a time. We're going down swinging. Aggressive. I love this team. The results haven't been where we're at and what we want. I love this team. I promise you, we're going to get to where we want to go. Recharge us bye week or come back and go dominate. And if you ain't about that life, get the out. You guys feel me on that? That's where I want to be with this group. All right? Let's break this up. JMS.
Ready.
Wow.
Does it work?
The message I liked, especially if you ain't about that, get the bleep out. Because that's how I would say it. If you don't want to be here, don't let the door hit you on the way out. If you don't want to buy in, we won't miss you. You can sit at home for all I care. We'll find someone else to do your job. The message was right. And I love the delivery.
I mean, the delivery sucked. I hate to be rough on it. And I don't.
I mean, so much of leadership is communicating and how you make it sound and how you climax a point and make it hit home. It's a learned skill. Some guys just don't naturally have it.
Can you be a successful head coach when you don't have it?
Yeah, of course. Because look, what a coach has, as I look at it, you have to prepare the hell out of your team so that they go into every game confident that whatever the game plan is, that it's going to work. Right? If you have guys going into games going, yeah, I don't know. I saw that Jim Johnson, it was Jim Johnson in my era. Let's call it Vance Joseph. I saw that Vance Joseph defense. I don't know what the hell we're going to do when they all mug. What are we going to do? You don't have confidence, you have no chance. So you have to prepare the hell out of your team. You ultimately have to get them to play together, which is hard. That means creating leaders inside the team, meaning Jackson Dart's got to become the leader. Dex has got to become the leader. He's got to feel empowered to carry your mantle as a head coach. And then the last thing is motivation. But you're getting paid. Motivating should be the easiest thing. You're trying to make a star out of yourself. You're trying to make a name for yourself in the league and be remembered forever and be put in the Ring of Honor. Like, the motivation is the easiest part. And so, to me, that's what he was trying to do. It just didn't sound motivating.
When he took over as interim head coach, I gave him about a 15% chance of keeping the job.
Mm-hmm.
And you brilliantly said, for every win, maybe it goes up 10%. Every upset win, it goes up 15%.
Right.
He is now at negative 10%.
Oh, he's not the head coach.
He has no shot.
No. No. Now, would I mind keeping him as an offensive coordinator? Sure.
Oh, no, I don't think anyone's against that.
I think he's a good coach.
Sure.
I just don't think he's the leader the Giants need.
And I feel bad for him because Mike Kafka has been a guy who's interviewed for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this experience is going to hurt his value.
Oh, it will, because you can interview and have every right answer. You can sit in a room with an owner, with a president of football operations, a general manager, and say everything exactly right. But when you just get in front of a room of grown men and have to get them to believe everything that you're saying, that's a different skill set.
And I wonder if other teams are going to see this and be like,
Well, forget that. I'm just thinking from a general manager standpoint. So for Joe Shane and Timmy and all these guys who are looking at who the new coach is going to be, how do you even know that? Like, how can you ever know that about somebody?
It's tough.
Because you don't see it.
Right.
You're not going to stick him in front of a team. You're like, hey, can you give me a hypothetical draw speech, or a hypothetical we've lost four games pickup speech, or a hypothetical don't fall for the trap games. You can't do that. So you don't know what any of these guys are going to look like. Well, we now know what Kafka's going to look like, but you don't know what any of these guys are going to look like in front of a team. And that's the most important thing. It's why, you know, we talk about this often, like, well, what should you get the young upstart guy, or should you get the guy who has veteran experience and has been a coach before? That's why you often lean towards the guy who's had experience before, because he's done that.
Right.
Thank you, SNY. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers. So it's hard to really judge any of these new hires that teams have, because you don't know one of the most critical parts, how they're going to react in front of a room full of grown men.
And unfortunately for Mike Kafka, we do with him. Because we were able to see it on Hard Knocks.
Yes.
And so,
yeah,
it hurts.
Mike Kafka accomplished something, though, that I didn't think was possible in my lifetime.
Which is,
he became the first human on planet Earth to make the F word no longer cool.
You kind of did.
Wait till I use the F word. Maybe that would change your view. Maybe I'd pass Mike Kafka in making it less cool. Let's go to Bill in Lindenhurst, New York. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I got two quick points. One is for the Mets and then Tiki. The first point is, with 2 years ago in 24, we had no locker room problems. Now, I wasn't a fan of the Mets signing Soto, but now all of a sudden we have a locker room problem. Mm. Now, I'm not saying he's the evil part of it, because everybody creates their own environment.
Right.
But, like, we're not looking at that at all. And the second point I want to bring up, Tiki, back in January, February, I don't remember what it was, I said you were dead to me because you rooted for the Eagles during the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'll take you off my death list.
Thank you.
List right now. You said something a couple of weeks ago that really inspired me. So, you know, you're back on my...
I appreciate that. Thank you, Bill.
You know what I mean? But the Soto thing, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't a fan for signing him.
It's an interesting point, because I think Evan and I talked about this a little bit in the early part of last season. Juan Soto is paid to be the man on your team. Like, you're making $70+ million every year. I don't care if you want to or don't want to be. You are the man. You are the target that every player wants to be like. I want to be so good that I get paid like that. But I don't think Juan Soto is naturally that guy.
No, I think he just works hard, kicks ass, and goes home.
He is the example leader.
Yes.
He is not the...
And he has said that.
Of course. And I think you had to know that.
Yeah.
And so unless you have someone else to fill that void, and they do, by the way, his name is Francisco Lindor, then it shouldn't have been an issue. But I think the issue might be, to Bill's point, is that Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto, while not adversaries, they don't connect.
And that's okay, though. I don't think that's a problem. Okay,
but it just can be perceived as a locker room issue.
Yeah, I don't think there is a locker room issue. I think that this has been completely overblown. The Mets didn't keep Pete Alonso because of the locker room. They didn't keep Pete Alonso because they think he's a klutz defensively and they want to give him a 5-year deal. They didn't keep Edwin Diaz because it's a locker room issue. They didn't keep Edwin Diaz because they screwed around in negotiations and shockingly never even had a chance to match the Dodgers' last offer.
That's because they signed Devin Williams.
Sure. But point is, I don't think it was because of the locker room. So I think this is completely overblown.